So the point is, you have to mail to yourself first to see what the customer is going to look like. It's like opening these boxes out here. Before you opened any box, before you came in this seminar, we stacked those boxes four or five different ways to see what looked best in there. What was the most impressive thing when you opened this box? What would give you the biggest wow feeling? And how much weight were it was in those boxes? And what size box would work best? And you have to do that. Test it on yourself first. It's a lot less expensive to test it to yourself once than to mail out 1,000 pieces and discover that everything you ship has been crushed.
On the same vein, quickly, we oftentimes send fragile things to the mail in envelopes that are specially made and specially created to say hand stamp only and so forth. They always get crushed.
Right, anything you ship.
So what we did, we found by writing in red ink across fragile, just the word fragile, they never get crushed, and that's what we do.
Because we ship, and I strongly suggest you ship everything in boxes. Why? When you get something in a box, is there a higher perceived value than when you get it in an envelope? A box costs you, actually the boxes we use cost less than Jetpack envelopes.
Something else about mailing either audio or videotapes. If you're mailing audio tapes, the box that you should use on that is what they call a poly box. It's a self-hinged box.
Very good point.
It looks like a soap dish box. They withstand the impact of the mail much better than the Norelco boxes, which are the hard, the clear plastic boxes, or the black and clear. They make a better presentation, but they crumble in the mail. Another thing to watch out for, if you use a cassette album, the kind that will hold 6 or 12 cassettes, test that album by putting it in the freezer. Take it out and open it. Some of them, when you take it out and open it, it'll break right at the hinge. It'll fall apart in your customer's hands. You'll get returns quickly there.
The only way you're going to find this out, though, is to ship it yourself. You know, we found out, we shipped out, and I know there's people over here in this room that got them. When we first started, we shipped out videotapes and envelopes that were padded. But we didn't know they were padded with shredded paper. And the videotape inside cut the padding. When you open up the bag, you've got the videotape, but also a pound of shredded paper entangled in the videotape. So you've got, the only way you find out, the only way we found out is we got one back that the person had moved. So we were going to reuse the tape. We opened it up, and it's just, we're thinking, I can't believe that we sent out 500 tapes to our customers in a package like this. So you can't do it that way. Nice. They provide official postal sacks, which you go to the back door to get, and also official postal rubber bands. You have to use their rubber bands. Don't go buy rubber bands. If you do, they'll call you and tell you you used the wrong rubber bands. Come back and get your mailing. Take all the rubber bands you used off. Now, this is the bulk rate mailing.
If you're going to mail Fiskars, you've got your 5,000 Fiskars kits, go to the post office and get their litter trays and put them in their litter trays, long and ones, and they will be so grateful. That's another way you can, you know, get a good relationship going with your post office. First class, you can just put them in the litter trays anyway, any zip code order, doesn't matter. It's only bulk rate you've got to keep in strict zip order.
There's a lot of reasons to use first class. One of the best reasons I like is that it's a quick test. If you mail today, you'll know in 3 days, 4 days how well your test would do. But more importantly, you get your money faster. So if you're working on a budget, it's like Pat and Sania, they wanted to come to Hot Springs, so they wanted to raise some money real quick. What do they do? Well, let's do a mailing. So you do a mailing and money, I mean, that's what you do. You'll get in this business anytime you need money, say you want to buy a new car, say, well, let's mail 10,000. We'll take the money from that and buy the car. I mean, you'll get to the point, anytime you want to raise money, you know how, you just mail more envelopes. But usually when you want money, you want it quick, first class is away, first class doesn't get thrown away, first class looks more impressive. But if you're doing mailings of quarter millions and half millions, you may want to do them bulk rate. Okay, that's how you do the mailing. And now, for the next 20 minutes, you can ask any question you want. Nope, I don't want to talk technical about pricing. In the letter that I'm going to send you, that you're going to get, there's going to be a lot of stuff. It seems to be getting longer and longer and longer now. We're going to talk about pricing your printing, pricing your mailing. I'm having discussions with somebody here right now about anybody who wants us to physically put their first tested mailing in the mail, we'll do it. And I'm going to send you information. If we go ahead and decide to do that, we'll arrange the printing for you, arrange the stuffing for you. You write the offer, send it to us. We'll do it all for you and get it in the mail. And if some of you want that, that'll be at Hot Springs Cost. We'll send you information on that. We're only going to do it if you want it, because I can't. I'm not in the printing business or the stuffing business. Okay, now you, for the next 30 minutes, you can ask anybody in this room, any of the speakers in this room, any question at all, and then we're going to break and go to the offices and eat dinner, and then come back here later on this afternoon. Oh, yeah. For those of you who are worried about how to get to our office, the shuttle goes by every 30 minutes. The hospital looks like a trolley. It goes by every 30 minutes. Now, any questions about getting to our office? 321 Washita. It's on your box. It's also in your box. It's also on our mailing list. 321 Washita is 1, 2, 3 streets. You go down 3 stoplights, it's on your right.
Civil War statue.
South, which is that way, right.
So how far south?
Walking distance.
Five, six blocks.
It's a 15-minute walk. If you have any questions at all about how to get there later on, when we break up later on this afternoon, ask Jim. What I do ask you is that when we leave here at noon, don't everybody go over the same time. When we take your time, eat lunch. We're going to be there until about 4, and then we're going to all come back over here and meet at 5 for an hour. But I want you to come and feel free to spend as much time as you'd like, and you'll see what our office looks like. You can go through our library and look and ask questions. I just ask, don't all of you show up at the same time, because we don't have room for everybody to stand in there.
Bill, I'm still having trouble understanding whether you recommend we put the name of our business on the mailing envelope on the upper left-hand corner, or just the return address.
It's going to depend who you're mailing to, what kind of offer you're mailing to. Now, what we do, because we are on a certain... What will happen is you get in this business, you're going to reach plateaus. You're going to start at a certain level, and you're going to go to a plateau where you're making a certain amount of money, and you like that money. And you'll do okay, and you'll be happy with yourself until you come to a seminar and meet somebody like Ted Nicholas. And then you go, golly, if Ted can do it, how come we're not doing it? And then you push yourself and you try 3 or 4 other things. But to start out with, try simple stuff. And then later on, go ahead and test stuff. Like Ted said, one of the easiest things you can do is test your envelope. If you're going to mail 1,000 pieces, try 500 envelopes one way, 500 envelopes the other way. And when they call, say, which envelope did you get? Is that the one that had... I mean, we ask people.
Bill, is there any particular day that's better than any other day to start an offer? Is it better to start on Tuesday so they might get it on Friday?
You know, that is, you play psychological games with yourself. If I'm mailing to people like myself in my age bracket who are working for a living or who normally work during the week and then take off on weekends, I like to mail on a Tuesday or a Wednesday because I'll either get it on a Friday or a Saturday. But you may be mailing to people who are never home on Fridays and Saturdays, and then you don't want to do that. You have to plan. You have to catch people's attention spans, too. I mean, if there's something going on major in the world, that's not a bad time. It's a bad time to mail. I mean, if you're mailing to people in Los Angeles during the riots, you're wasting your time. Because their attention on something, unless you're selling bulletproof vests, their attention's on something else. Get a microphone.
I wanted to say something that hasn't been... It was mentioned, I think, on the first day that's very important. And that is type size. When you do this letter, when you do your order card, whatever you do, especially if, you know, we've been talking about the over 40 market and, you know, I wear magnifiers and look at the group out here with eyeglasses, make sure that your people can read your offer. How many times have you opened a magazine and you've seen an advertisement in there and you can't read it? If you can't read it, nobody else can read it. They're going to look at it. They're going to be frustrated. They're not going to take the time. So make sure that
that's
you
very,
use
very good
a
point.
Point size that's large enough.
At least use 11.5 or 12.
Yeah, I try to stay with 12. Uh-huh.
12 is a technical specification for the size of a letter on a printed page. And you want to use a font that is very, very pleasing to your eye. How many people have got the Pat Buchanan letter soliciting money for his campaign? Well, that's good. Pat Buchanan is a very conservative person running for office. His primary campaign supporters are over 50 conservative Americans. But his campaign letter he sent out in 9 points to fit on the size of the paper. And it was 9 point with 2 paragraphs per page, which means he had about 16 lines and 9 point type. When you looked at it, even if you wanted to read it, it was almost impossible to read because it was so small.
But people don't get... People people don't typically notice that. They just don't read it.
Yeah, they just don't read it.
You're not going to have somebody call you and go, you know, the type was so little on your ad or your letter that I couldn't read it and throw it away. You don't get that kind of feedback. But what they don't know why they're not reading it. It's just that they scan it, and it's just too complicated, and they toss it. It's too little. It's too difficult. And they toss it, and they don't know why. And those are the kinds of things that you have to be careful of, because you're not going to get those phone calls that say that it was just too tiny. So those kinds of things are real, real important. The other thing is, when you're talking, there are a lot of technical things about copy and how it looks, the space between your paragraphs, what your margins are, how it flows on the paper, what keeps your eye going. Even that where it says, and people do follow directions, where it says over please, next page, down on the bottom, you know, those things keep your eye going, and there's a certain kind of flow you want right into what you want the person to do and how to get them to act. And those kinds of things are, they're not complicated, they're fun, they're just things that you have to...
Yeah, it's part of the mechanical process.
Yeah, and you learn that by experience, but you can see, and have somebody else read your letter. If they don't get it, if they can't figure it out, then go...
What I suggest, now what I always do is I send it to my mother. I mean, you want the world's worst critic, send it to your mother. And if if I send a letter and she doesn't say anything about it, then I figure she didn't read it. And that's a good, that's the response I want. If she didn't read it, then the people I'm sending it to, which may be in her age bracket, aren't going to read it either. And if I ask her why she didn't read it, she'd go, well, I hadn't had time. That's the best thing I want to hear. I want her to say she didn't have time, because it tells me I did something wrong. Because if she won't read a letter written by her own son... Then I've really done something wrong, and I actually did on the watch pitch that you have, the first one that has a photograph, I did something wrong. The headline was wrong, and the point size was too small, and there were too many paragraphs on the page. And when she looked at it, she thought, well, this is going to take me forever to read. And the letter that David Deutsch wrote, you notice that all the sentences were short, and you didn't get to see it on paper. You will get to see it because it'll be part of the things I mailed to you, at least the front page of it. You'll see how easy it is to read. There's no contest to see how many words or letters you can get on a page. The contest is to see how many words or letters you actually get read that are on the page. So using font size is important on that.
Bill? I just want to make one point about when to mail. I always mail first class, and after about a quarter of a century in this business, I now believe it the very best day to deposit your mail in the post office is Saturday. My favorite day to have people receive my mail is Tuesday. Depositing your mail on Saturday or any other day doesn't guarantee they'll get it on Tuesday, but it gives you a pretty good chance. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays are my particular favorites. If you happen to be, this is not the subject of the seminar, but if you ever happen to be running newspaper ads, you always want to go on Tuesday. And the reason for that is Tuesday is the skinniest paper of the week, and that means that you have less competition for your message than on any other day of the week. That is especially true in financial newspapers, because Monday's Wall Street Journal and any other financial publication are not read too much because the markets have been closed on the weekend. Bill, I just wanted to mention one other thing. I don't know if it's the appropriate time or not, but I have some comments on teaching these people how to write their own direct mail letter, you know, with that Miami Vice technique. Whenever you get to that point, I'll be glad to explain that.
Yeah, turn his mic up, or...
I'll just talk close. Could you hear what I said? If there's an appropriate time to do it, I have a way that you could learn how to write your own direct mail letters, as well as many copywriters, the actual writing of it, because I think...
No, we're not going to put Gary on the stage. We only have about 3,000 watts of light on him. He's getting a hard enough tan as it is. And it's kind of more personal to have him down here among us. The gods descend off the mountain to be...
I think the best day to mail, if you mail first class, is Saturday. But here's a technique all of you can use to write your own sales letters. I found that most business people are excellent selling face-to-face or on the phone. You need to record those conversations. Keep doing it till you forget you're recording it. One day you'll capture yourself at concert pitch. Have that tape recording transcribed. Then go over it and clean up, you know, edit out all the chit-chat, comments about the weather and so forth, and use that transcription as the basis for your direct mail letter. If you're going to work with a copywriter, that's the best thing you can give them.
here is me, a transcript of me making a sale to one of my customers explaining all the points of it. So the thing is, most of you are very good selling your products and services, but when you put a pen in your hand, most people freeze up. This is the way to do that, but you want to keep doing it over and over till you forget you're recording it, because you'll be stilted before that. That's a very simple way of getting your sales message on paper in a way that you have something you can use as a basis to do a sales letter or an ad.
That's great. Basically. How many people sell a product already that exists, and you do talk to people on the phone about it? You know, you discover that the more you talk to people on the phone, the more you find out what really gets them excited, and you condense your pitch down over and over and over until you know all the things to say to really get them excited. I keep talking about exercise equipment. Karen and I went out and looked at some a couple of weeks ago, and the guy was saying, yeah, this is nice stuff, this $3,600. He said, we have a hard time getting one. The one we delivered last week to the Dumas Police Department, it took about 2 weeks to get. Now, do you think he accidentally said Dumas Police Department? Or do you think he knew that that was a good selling point, saying that this is exercise equipment used by policemen? But he didn't say this is exercise equipment used by policemen, did he? He just kind of threw in the word Dumas Police Department because, you know, it's a good selling point. And he's probably used that. I went back to see him last week at lunch, and he didn't recognize me because I was in my regular clothes instead of my T-shirt and shorts. And he said the exact same line. And I said, well, how long did it take to get one if I ordered one today? And he said, it took the Dumas Police Department about 3 weeks. And see, he knows because he's talked to so many customers that that's something that's a hot button to him. And that's what Gary was talking about. If you listen to yourself when you're talking to your customers, the things that you already know are hot buttons are exactly what you should tell your copywriter, including your own offer.
I wanted to ask Gary, what week of the month usually works best for mailing, and if there's a particular time within a quarter if you're mailing to businesses?
Wait. I can say wait to Gary Haverty. He actually waits. That's power.
Actually, there's lots of people that shove me around. Your wife used to do it all the time.
Now she shoves me around, Gary.
I didn't even sleep with her either. That's a major difference. Anyway, I think if the success of your mailing depends on that kind of timing, your mailing ought to be redone. However, if you have to pick a good time, have it arrive right after the first of the month when people get their checks. And you don't want you probably do any mailings whatsoever in December. January, as a general rule, unless you're doing something that's seasonal, you know, like bathing suits, is the very best month of the year to mail. I'd say January, February, and March is the very best quarter of the mail year to mail. Probably June is the worst month of all. I'll tell you something curious. When you make your mailings, pray for bad weather. Pray for snowstorms, pray for rain, tornadoes, pray for cold weather. I think that response is inverse relationship to temperature. If you mail into an area where the temperature is 100 degrees, your response is going to go way down. That's just a few little things that whisper that can help your campaign work better. Can I, by the way, I need to know when we're going to break for lunch and how many of my lifers are going to be with me at lunch. We just need a count. Well, wait a minute, okay. Twenty-one people? Okay, we're not going to take orders from you. You just have to eat what we give you or starve. So,
Gary, we're going to break in about 10 minutes.
In about 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
We're gone, then me and Bond got to go.
So, you guys know where it's at, 443?
Room 443. Al Capone Suite. If anybody didn't get Harry's name is information on becoming a lifetime subscriber, there's more of them down here.
Bill, do you have a favorite font style you use?
We use either Times or Palatino. Favorite font style, Times or Palatino is what I use in the body text. New Century School Book is a little bit more flowery than Palatino. Friendly, right. You're looking for a friendly font. Don't use narrow Helvetica unless you're writing a military manual, but it's good for headlines.
Bill?
I do this for a living, graphic design. Do
Ken, not... would you come up here?
Yeah, sure.
Have everybody met Ken Kerr? Ken is one of the experts is here by his own choice, which I think is great. Ken has been involved in development of some of the major products that many of you use. Ken also helped design a lot of the graphics you see on TV, the Desert Storm graphics, as he was telling me. I mean, that's why he's a graphic designer, among other things. If you want to know what type style to use or how to make a letter look good, here's the man.
It's real simple. Gary Halbert, Bill Myers do this stuff intuitively. They've done it year after year after year after year. You can't hear me? I was wondering. Okay. Don't reinvent the wheel. Take Gary Halbert's newsletters. Take Loretta Duffy's letters, if you can get copies of them. Take the ads that these people in this room produce. Take the letters they produce. Take the pieces they produce and copy it. Do not reinvent the wheel. Millions and millions of hours of...
When you say copy, you copy the format.
Just copy the format. Copy the look. Copy the typefaces. If you don't know what the typeface is that Gary Halbert uses on his letter or on his response device or whatever, take it to your printer. Take it to your typesetter and say, match this. Match the spacing, the leading, the size of the points of the type. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. These guys, that's hard-won knowledge. It's real simple. You'll save yourself $1 million in graphic design. Just copy what you already see. You got the best guys in the industry in this room, and you subscribe to their letters. The way they lay out a typewritten letter is real important. Just take it. If you can't do that or you're uncomfortable with it, take it to your typesetter and say, make it look exactly like Gary's newsletter or Bill's newsletter. Just leave it at that.
That's what we did. We took our printers and said, we want our paper to look like that. There's still some things about Gary's I haven't figured out yet. But I'm sure he's got some tricks.
You're going in the right direction.
Any more questions?
If any of these people are interested in hearing Disney stories about the Disney Corporation or Epcot, because the man designed Epcot, would he be interested in hearing some of those stories about the business decisions if he were to sit in the bar?
Yeah, we got a real Mickey Mouse designer here.
Bill. Sorry. No, seriously. Chad Hodgkin, and he didn't tell you some of the stories about Disney. They're absolutely priceless. They're wonderful, and they're very insightful about the Disney company.
Ken Kerr was directly and many times responsible for Epcot Center getting off the ground and actually becoming Tokyo Disneyland becoming a reality. So that's why I say he's a really Mickey Mouse designer.
Bill? Yesterday we were talking about Pat's letter, and he got nailed for I. So last night I'm reading Gary's letter, and it's got more I's and my's in it, but I assume it's because of who Gary Halbert is. We already know who he is, what his position is, and we're trying to, am I assuming that we're trying to place ourselves in his shoes?
Gary's the product.
He's the product, and that's why it's the I and the my.
Yeah, when you buy Gary Halbert, you want the product. That is Gary. He's giving you the product.
When he's talking about the product. You're allowed to mention your product as much as you want in your news is.
Okay, that's what I assumed.
Right.
You know.
Ted touched on this a little bit. I spoke with a patent attorney to find out about protecting your name if you're going to do mail order throughout the country. And he said you can't trademark a name, a company name. What can you do so that no one else will use your company name?
Use it first.
But what if someone else comes along?
Use it first. What? They do a name search when you incorporate to make sure no one else is using that name. But
that's just in your state, right?
Yes, and you can do a name search in all 50 states if you want. I had a name of a product called the Black Box Solution once, and I was so successful marketing it that my attorney got a letter from a company called Black Box Company, and they complained that so many people were calling them wanting this product that we were infringing on their ability to conduct business in a normal manner. And they were going to sue me because I was using the word black box. And my attorney wrote back a letter saying, we contend that black box and start up again tomorrow if you like better. And they said, okay. So I changed it from black box to blank box, B-L-A-N-K, and that was all that was heard about it. But the only reason they threatened to sue us is because we were so good. There's a lot of little things like that. Don't worry about it. And don't use IBM. But if you use your name or something reasonable, you're not going to get in trouble. I mean, do what a reasonable person would do, and if you ever go into court or if it ever gets involved in that, then you can say, I did the reasonable thing.
Bill, we captured some names and sent out a mailing and didn't get much response. so we followed it up. Is there your experience, do you follow up? And then if you do, to begin testing when the best follow-up will work, where do you start? A couple weeks, a month, 2 weeks?
Anybody in this room ever bought anything from me through the mails? Do I ever follow up with letters? I mean, once you get a letter from me, don't you get more letters and more letters and more letters? And not all of them are selling stuff. A lot of them are just information letters, just letting you know what's going on, trying to keep you up to date. Most of the letters, at least every other letter, I'm offered to give you something free, no strings attached. Just that's because I want to stay in contact with you. Whether you buy something from me or not, I want to stay in contact with you. And that's what you want to do with your customers. Acquiring those names is real expensive. If it costs you $800 to acquire...
Bill, could you tell us a few of the things in your satellite home shopping show that didn't sell? You said there were 10 that didn't and 5 that did.
Right now, satellite's a different market. We tested lots of different stuff. What we found out, that people would not pick up the phone for anything priced less than $100. I think that the people in their mind, when... if it's $7 or $15 or $20, even $30, they don't really want to reach in their pocket and use their credit card for something small. We didn't get an order for anything priced under $100. Matter of fact, we had some small tractors, die-cast handmade tractors made in Russia. And boy, these are neat little collector's items because it said made in the USSR, and it had the hammer and the sickle, and it said CCCP, and it had the Russian language on it. These are really nice collectible items. But we couldn't sell them because they cost us $15 a piece. But what we did is that we bumped the price up to where we sold them for $25 a piece, and you had to buy at least three. So a minimum order was $75, and we sold one after we did that. But we couldn't sell them at the $25. We couldn't sell anything under $100. I mean, people just wouldn't pick up the phone and order. And as I mentioned before, our number one selling item was also our most expensive item. And when we had our watch show and offered lots and lots of watches, the only calls we got were for the $500 and $800 watches. People just aren't interested even in tremendous bargains for $80 because they're not going to reach and pull the credit cards out. Now, this is for our home shopping show, and I can't say that's the same for direct mail. But I tell you, everything we've done the last 2 years makes me sincerely believe that the higher price the item is, as long as it's a good value, the easier it is to sell. I mean, everything I've done in direct marketing has taught me never sell anything for $19.95, never sell anything for $29.95. $39.95, we don't sell products like that. As a matter of fact, we're concentrating on items in the $300 to $700 price range because that's our comfort zone right now.
In the same vein, would you please then tell us what your most profitable and best-selling items have been in recent times?
Nope.
Thank you.
No, I'll tell you that in the last year, we haven't direct mailed anything that didn't make a profit. Absolutely every single thing we did made a profit. And the reason is, and I gave the secret away on Tuesday, we rarely spend more than $600 to test anything. Now, the size of the profit is going to depend on how many we direct mailed. I don't think we direct mailed more than 10,000 pieces of mail on anything. And you know why? Because we made as much as we wanted. And we kick ourselves because we have products that made us $50,000 to $100,000, and we should have mailed them to everybody. Karen says we should be flying over with planes, dumping some of our mail offers just out. Just pushing them out the window because the response rate was so good. But now that I'm married, I probably will be mailing a whole lot more stuff because the last 2 years ago when I was doing that, I was a single man and living out in the woods and really didn't need the money. And, you know, what are you going to do with money anyway? Now that I'm married, I know what you do with money.
But you know what? I'm selling a single item. We put together packages and we put it together in a convenience frame of mind so that we are trying to give our customers, instead of having to go to a lot of different places to get a lot of things, they can buy it all from us in one package. And that's pretty much, when we do that, we do real well. If we have, like, what we call the mother of all offers,
right.
We always have the mother of all offers.
You know our catalog, right? The catalog that's in the folders. We mailed that 2 weeks ago Monday. We're averaging $1,000 a day on that already. We only mailed 10,000 pieces. It paid for itself in the first 6 days. And because I am married now, and because I love my wife and want to give her everything she wants on the planet, we will probably, instead of just stopping at 10,000...
This is on tape. No, I have 116 witnesses here.
And because we've already picked out all kinds of things that we want to get, that we both want to get, now that I've been convinced, we're probably going to go ahead and do follow up the mailing with a 70,000 test. And if it's a 70,000 test, we're going to look for other lists to mail this catalog to. This catalog we created on a psychological... I sat down and I decided what I want them to do is to buy the item on the last page, the most expensive item.
The mother of all offers.
And what I'm going to use is the first 12 pages of the catalog, taking all the components of that last item and selling them individually. So hopefully by the time a person has read to the last item, they've picked up four things they want. But the truth is, it's cheaper to get the mother, which gives you everything in the catalog, basically, than to buy two or three items. And so far, I think our rate is now running about 95 to 96% of the people who call order everything. I mean, they get everything in the, basically everything in the catalog.
We made it convenient for them. Instead of having to sit through the catalog and decide all the hot items in the catalog, we made real convenient for them to get in one package so that they're reading through and they think, well, I want this, but oh, yeah, I also want this. And then suddenly on the last page, well, you can get everything that was real hot in that catalog, and we'll give you a special price for it. And bingo, you've got it.
Phil, talk about a continuity package.
A continuity package? I don't know what a continuity package is.
Well, a book of the month club.
I don't want anybody here doing stuff like that. Till for bid type thing. No, on direct mail, no. Advanced direct mail seminar, we'll do that. Because what I want to do is, see, what I want everybody here to do is a simple test on a simple product. How many people in here promise me, swear to me, that sometime in the next 6 weeks, you'll spend $600 testing a mailing on something?
That's great.
I want you to pan this audience.
We're going to keep you to it now. You're on tape here.
I get a picture of everybody. Now, most of you will use that spreadsheet and pick a product that you only have to sell three people, four people out of, right, to make your money back. How many will do that? How many people promise me you'll sell a product that's at least $69 or more? Okay, now, see, when you do that, I can almost guarantee you'll all break even. Because if you only spend $600, you mail to 1,000 people, and you're selling something that you're going to make at least $40 or $50 profit on, you only have to sell at $40 profit, you're going to have to sell 15 people, right? Does that sound risky? Don't you wish our government ran that way? Well, they'd be making money instead of costing us money. I'm glad to see that you're going to do something. Let's hear some more questions. Any questions?
Bill?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay.
How many people know Brian by now?
Hi, it helps to promote yourself. The other day you mentioned that you put a full-page ad in to sell your house.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do differently in that ad that the other people didn't do, aside from a full page, and can we get a copy of that ad?
Yeah, you can get a copy of the ad at our office.
Yeah, I've already been asked that. I'm going to have photocopies of the ad available at the office, and you'll see that what we did differently was we wrote it editorial style. We wrote it like a story. We told you the history of the house. We made it charming. We made it unique. We did all the things you'd put in a direct mail piece in there.
We talked about the crystal mines, the ancient Indian artifacts, the river, the fish, the beavers, the fox. We also used color. We're the only ad in here. We were the only full-page ad. We were the only ad that used color. We were in the centerfold or the back page. We timed it. Hot Springs is a tourist town, population 36,000. We knew no one in Hot Springs was going to buy our property because they knew the market. How many people here looked through this catalog and said, I cannot believe the prices of real estate in Hot Springs? That's the effect we wanted. And we wanted to run it when the most people were going to be in Hot Springs, which had to be a three-day weekend, either Memorial Day or Labor Day. And that's exactly when we timed it. Wayne, did I come to you the day as you were printing it and I asked you if you'd do an insert? And he did. He actually, because he was printing it, you know, this is basically several sheets, 11 by 17, that you staple together. He was able to get enough to do a full page for us. And it paid off, but that was using timing, the right ad in the right place. Had I done a 60-page ad, you think I would have stood out from anybody in here? You know, you see all these little black and white photographs. Let me tell you, I did not use a photograph. Because why give it away? I want the people to imagine the most that they can imagine. And I told my real estate agent, I want you to qualify everybody. When they call, tell them the owner is very, very, very particular. You cannot come out and look at this property unless you can prove to me through either a bank account or a letter from your bank that you can afford the full purchase price in cash.
And you still got 300 and some
there? We had 332 inquiries.
She qualified them down to 70 people. And of those 70 people, they're the ones she qualified. She let all those 70 into her office, and I think she brought 20 people out to the farm. Only 20 people out to the farm.
And it was good for her because she had 70 qualified people that she knew had 100,000. She sold several other properties close to ours for two people who really didn't know what they were getting into. You know, we were selling the dream of moving back to the woods. The nearest house to mine was 8 miles away. And I'm not going to say on tape what I paid for the place, but it was substantially less than that.
I'd like to get serious for a comment that has not been, to my knowledge, made during this seminar that I think is very important. I'd like to share an idea here that I don't really know where to start, but I'll just start. The reason that Bill Myers is successful is because of Karen Myers. Now, let me tell you why.
Now, before you say that,
I want to explain
we've
why.
We've only been married 6 months.
But let me, well, okay, in addition, but I would say this, that you would not be successful if Karen was not supportive of your business. Let me try to explain why.
You're exactly right. And if I met Karen, I'd be on the same plateau that I was comfortable at 2 years ago and would not ever pushed any further. I would not have pushed the possibilities that lay before me. But with Karen, she has given me motivation, but also support. And I don't want to say Karen supports me, because Karen is half the business, if not more. And you've got to have somebody, you know, it's like Ted Nicholas says, you've got to have a good relationship. And Karen and our relationship is not a business relationship. You know, we are a couple, and like all couples, you know, you have interesting times, but a relationship always comes first.
Okay. Well, I have a specific example to illustrate my point with. It must have been 20 years ago, I went to a New Year's Eve party in California, and after we all had unwound, and many of these people I did not know, it was an apartment house kind of complex, a gentleman started telling a story about how his wife back told the story about how he had wanted to go into business with his father, and I believe it was a mechanic shop, it doesn't matter, but the father and the son both felt they had the expertise to make the business work, and the wife was against that movement, that job, and she spoke against it for years, and they did fail. She prophesied it would fail, and she made it fail because she wouldn't support her husband. I'm saying to you, if you're male or female here and you do not have spousal support, you will reduce materially the ability to get your job to do the job that you want to do. I'm saying it's very important that you get your spouse, male or female, to support your effort, because without that, you will fail almost exclusively.
You'll fail in anything.
Exactly. So if you're going to do this, the best advice I can give you from my own personal experience as well, and from the stories that I know about, get the support of your spouse before you start, before you commit $1 to this business or any other business, because without it, you will fail. I think that's very important advice.
I agree. On the other hand, if you do a test without telling her, and all of a sudden you've got $10,000 in your bank account, you'd be surprised how much support you're going to get quickly. But I agree. If you have somebody saying it's not going to work, it's not going to work, it's not going to work, I guarantee you it's not going to work. If you have a parent, a child, a friend who you listen to who says it's not going to work, you're going to be in trouble. And one of the reasons that we do these, and we rarely do these seminars, is because it's nice to get around other people that it has worked for. I mean, it has been real motivational to me to be around people in this room who are living examples that you can do this, that you can make a whole lot of money doing this and still be a nice person to talk to and to sit down and eat dinner with or to go walks with. I mean, it is nice to meet people like that. I mean, you don't have to be some plastic or robot type person to do well in this business. You know, one of the things that I really, really like about direct mail is we probably have 20, 25,000 customers. Other than the people in this room, I rarely meet anybody I do business with. I mean, you don't have to have direct contact. What that means is you can wear jeans, you can wear t-shirts, you can wear shorts, you can do your work out at the pool. Like Carl says, he can do his work in bed. You can live the lifestyle you want. You can pick who you want as customers. You know, and I keep telling you, my customers, the people I have picked, are people over 40. Because unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm over 40. And I hope someday I'll be over 80. And I hope there's a lot of other people over 80 so they can still be my customers. But you can pick who you want as customers. And you can decide how you want to treat those customers. So, I mean, that's one of the great things about this. You don't have to work in New York City. You don't have to work in L.A. You don't have to work anywhere. Karen and I have discussed this. If we chose to, we could move to New Zealand and do everything that we do right now from New Zealand. Because the postal authorities and UPS does most of our work. You can live where you want, how you want, and the way you want. And you don't. There is no contest to see who can make the most amount of money. If you're comfortable with making $5,000 a month profit, that's great. I mean, that's great. If you feel that you want to make $5 million a month profit and it doesn't ruin your lifestyle or it doesn't ruin your relationships or it doesn't ruin your health, great. You need to get where you're comfortable. And then about every year or every 2 years go to something like this that pushes you to say, you know, I can do that. I can double my income. All I really have to do is just double my mailings.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you're having another seminar so I can invite some friends or family to attend.
Boy, I tell you, at the end of these things, Karen and I swear to each other, we'll never do another.
You have to give us a week or two or like amount of months, and then we'll start thinking, well, yeah, we'll do it.
And then what happens, we put into action all these things that kind of filter through our minds, and we start becoming quite profitable. I guarantee you, within the next 30 days, we'll mail another 100,000 letters. And then we'll get excited and we'll say, you know, we learned so much at that thing. Let's have a seminar.
Yeah,
then we'll say, who can we get to come speak? Because I can't afford to get pay Gary Halper $15,000, or I'm too tight to pay Gary Halper $15,000 for an hour's worth of work. Who can we get? You know, I cannot overstate how happy I am that Gary Halper was here, Ted Nicola was here, David Deutsch was here, Carl Galletti, all the other people here. I mean, I can't get advice from these people. I can't afford to fly out and see them and spend a week with them and learn what I've learned here. Plus, and rather than just getting advice from one person, I've had advice filtered by lots and lots and lots of people. I mean, I'm getting just as much out of this, if not more, than everyone here in this room. Plus, I didn't have to pay to get in, which is kind of nice.
Howdy. Could you or somebody speak on the relative merits, I'll make this question sound as bureaucratic as possible, of, in print, of display ads versus display classified versus classified, and how or if you might treat each one differently, and
nope.
Why? And
nope.
It's an essay question.
Nope. Not here. Not now. I'll tell you what. Ted Nicholas here, he's having a seminar next month, and he's going to tell you how he sold $200 million worth of products in display and classified ads. Well, it's not going to be free. It's going to cost to find that out. No, the reason I don't want to talk about that, because with only 10, 15 minutes left or 5 minutes left, there's no way I can get into that without it evolving into a two-week discussion. If you have questions on classified ads, talk to John Eager or Phil Kratzer. John Eager is one of the most abusive persons in the world. If you call him up and you say, let me tell you about this ad I've got for this product, and you read him the ad. You know why? Because he'll laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh, and he's doing you a favor. But if it's good, he'll tell you if it's good. And if he doesn't think it's going to work as a classified ad, he'll tell you it's not going to work as a classified ad. And that's what you want. You don't want to call somebody and say, I want to run this ad, and they'll go, okay, run it.
I'll tell you something else, John, I hope you don't mind me mentioning this, but the girls that answer John's phone in National Classified Network, they take orders for ads, and they run ads all day, every day, and they also monitor what works and doesn't. John's really busy. You sometimes can't get through to him. If you have a question on, you can stop me anytime if I'm wrong here, John. But the girls are very, very savvy at what's good wording for ads and know a lot about classified ads. So if you sometimes can't get through to John, chat to the girls. And they're real busy. Try not to take up too much of their time. But they're real savvy. Everyone in John's organization is very, very sharp.
How many people here knew John before he came here? Because I'm saying bad things about John. And I hope that all of you know that all of us in this room respect John Eager and his organization. I mean, I don't know if you know this. If you want to place a classified ad today that's going to be seen by how many million people? 44 million? Within 7 days, that's the only man in the country
million.
Can do it. He can get you in every single, the vast majority of shoppers.
Yeah, but let's not have that conversation. The reality is that, yes, it is very difficult to speak to me. Thank you, Karen, for bringing that up. It is not that I'm not interested in all of your successes. It's that I don't do that so much anymore, and I am only on the edge of that stream that flows through our office, and if you ask me, I can only tell you what I know. But the people who actually deal with that every day, if you ask them, you know, run this by John and get an opinion, they will, and they will call you back and tell you what I said, literally verbatim.
And it will be an honest opinion.
And it'll be an honest opinion, because one, I don't really need your business, and I really don't need your business if you're unhappy. And if I think that you've got a better place to go or a better way to go, then I'll tell you what I think that is. But you also got to let me, you know, do something more than place classifieds, because, you know, I used to do that literally physically myself, and I'm doing other things now, which is
John's a good example of a plateau person. I mean, we're all on a plateau, and we all move up the plateau or go down into lower depths. And John's a good example of a person who's moved through a lot of technologies. John, Every idea I had last year, I called John and asked about them. He laughed at 9 out of them. Saved me lots of money. I guess you laughed at all of them. Saved me lots of money.
I did not laugh at seminars.
Right. That's right. That's true. This is going to be your last formal chance to ask these experts who make literally $15,000 an hour any question you want.
Well, this is my pitch, in the same kind of way as John did, is that I, as a list broker, part of what I don't want to do is just order lists for people, so that if you want to call me and you want to order a list of 5,000 names and it's going to cost $100, I can order that list for you. What I'm interested in is finding projects that I can, that are worth my efforts to find the list, because there are plenty of list brokers out there that will just, you call them, you tell them what you want, they order the list. But I want projects I can joint venture. I want projects that I can get a piece of it, that I can develop, that I can work with it, get the right list that's going to have a high percentage of
profitability,
that it's going to be successful, that it's going to be something that's going to be hugely profitable. I mean, that's what I'm looking for.
Karen, give me your give me your phone number.
It's 817-581-3737.
If you're looking for somebody to joint venture a project with,
or if you're looking for people that you want to match to joint venture, I don't mind taking a...
if you want to put together an endorsed mailing, you know, where you, for as a financial expert or somebody, you want to include your offer with their monthly newsletter or whatever, Karen's a good person.
But really, it's not, and I mean this kindly, it's not worth your time to call me just to order a list, because there are plenty of, and hopefully I've given you a lot of information so that you can use a list broker and you can find someone to work with if it's just a matter of ordering the list. And if there are questions, if you have questions about your list broker and whether that person's giving you, you know, if you have some question about whether it's a good price or not, please call. I mean, I certainly want to be helpful. But those are sort of the parameters I want to work in. 817-581-3737.
John, what's your phone number, your organization there?
Uh, 214-443-977.
You're going to get all this from us and a Rolodex from us.
I have an editorial comment.
Editorial.
I told Carl Galletti a few minutes ago that I can't remember ever being quite so delighted in the surprises at this seminar. The copywriters who spoke particularly were really amazing, and I met all of them at Gary Halbert seminars in the past where I also spoke. And they were the talent, and you know, they had to on the spot drop everything and pop up with headlines and sit in hot seats and try to solve marketing problems working with Gary. And that's 12 and 14 hour days, and that's 4 days in a row, and that is really grinding you to dust. And they made it through and got the products out and all the things that were supposed to be done, but I'd never heard any of them speak before. I'm not really sure how much public speaking, but I think this is really an extraordinary opportunity to understand not only how they see copywriting, but how their work and the process they go through to come up with their view of a product or an offer or what their particular area of expertise is. That is a wonderful, that's been a wonderful experience for me and a tremendous benefit of coming to this seminar. So that is editorial comment number one, and I'm really grateful to Bill and Karen having people who I know in other ways come here and dazzle me yet again. So that's one vote of gratitude. The other one is that always as seminars kind of wind up, there's this kind of energy and combined with exhaustion, and I am compelled in some peculiar way to give a testimonial. I've been to lots and lots and lots of seminars, all of which I speak at, and these are really wonderful. The people who come to Bill's seminars are wonderful. They're very motivated and interested people, even though some who have come to others have never successfully spoken to me on the phone since then. We have tried to take care of them, and when we've screwed up, you know, we try to make it right. I think the wonderful thing about these particular seminars is an opportunity to remember that dreams do occasionally come true if there's enough diligence and thoughtfulness put behind them, that there are people in the market and in the world today acting on their dreams in whatever circuitous route they may, and that many of those things happen. Some of the people who were at the last seminar are actually in the market. the difference between people who are successful and the people who are not successful are people who are in the market. If they stay in the market, they will eventually find something, figure something out that works. And so I want to make my personal thanks to Bill and Karen for inviting me, and to all of you for being such a good and delightful audience and finding my jokes wildly funny, which I am very grateful for. And so, you know, those are my two testimonials, my two editorial comments.
Thank you, John. We're going to have about three more questions, and then we're going to go and do the stuff down there and get back here.
I've never heard of Bill and Karen Myers until I read Gary Halbert's letter. The motivational reason I'm here is the comment that he says he's the laziest man in the world. I think that's a misnomer. The things that you've done, the quality, the precision, the timing, keeping it moving, shows me that you are very dedicated and you work hard for what you have. So I don't believe you anymore. I'm sorry, but thank you very much.
No, I'm lazy, and you know what? When you do your first test mailing, you're going to discover what I mean, how easy it is. Two more, and then we're out of here.
Yeah, Bill, you mentioned earlier, I think the first day, and I was hoping you'd get into it with more depth, but perhaps now is a good time. You know, we talked about controls, we talked about being sued, we talked about all these other things incorporating. We talked about the computer, and we talked about, you mentioned programs like Q&A. Could you perhaps give us more information about controls, about order sheets? What's a good?
I'm lazy, and you know what? When you do your first test mailing, you're going to discover what I mean, how easy it is. Two more, and then we're out of here.
Yeah, Bill, you mentioned earlier, I think the first day, and I was hoping you'd get into it with more depth, but perhaps now is a good time. You know, we talked about controls, we talked about being sued, we talked about all these other things incorporating. We talked about the computer, and we talked about, you mentioned programs like Q&A. Could you perhaps give us more information about controls, about sheets, order sheets? What's a good way, you know, what should we have on an order sheet? How can we keep control and make things flow so that we won't have to have a shoebox and lose orders and things like that?
Actually, in the next 4 hours when you go down to our office, you're going to see the system exactly the way it works, but I'll explain it to you first. In your box, there's an order form. That's the exact order form we use in our office. When an order comes in, it's taken on the phone, and then one of the four people in our office write the order out. It's always written on paper in a predefined form that we have. Once that order is taken, it is given to our shipping department, which is Jim. He's our entire shipping department. It is physically given to Jim. Let's give Jim a hand. He's our entire shipping department. As soon as Jim gets the order, if it's a Visa MasterCard, he calls in and gets approval. If it's approval, he puts it in a box, puts the shipping label on it, prepares it for shipping, enters the UPS log, and if it's ready to ship, he then gives the order, he marks it shipped, and gives the order back to Sissy, where it is entered in the computer. And we do not cash the money. We don't enter the computer until it's shipped. If anybody calls and wants to know the status of their order, there's only one person to find out. It's Jim. He knows the status of the order. If it's been shipped, it's in the UPS log. Everything is documented. We have a complete trail of everything coming through our office. Once it's in the computer, once it's physically in the computer, the piece of paper that the order originally taken on is filed. Now, the computer system we use is IBM. We have a hard drive with a tape backup. The reason our tape backup is you can destroy everything we own as long as you don't destroy our customer list, and we're still in business. And everything we own is insured, is insurable by commercial insurance companies, except for our customer list. So we have a tape backup, and every computer that we have is backed up to every other computer, and we have several customer lists. I mean, current editions of our customer list on mirror images machines, but we have our tape backup, where we back up our hard drive once a week and store that off-site. Because you'll quickly discover your computer file of customers is your most valuable asset. I think everybody in here, Ted, wouldn't you agree that if your building burns down tomorrow, you can replace everything in it except for your customer file? And I'm sure that you maintain that off-site in probably multiple locations just in case. And this afternoon, you'll see that process. You'll see Sissy taking orders, writing them down. You'll see the forms. While you're in our office, if there's any forms you want, ask. And Sissy will give you the current issue of those forms so you can see exactly how we do it. Now, the form we use, we take the form, and made an identical program that looks exactly like that that's on Q&A. So when you enter a customer on Q&A, it's just like entering a paper form. But always have a paper trail. In case anything ever happens to you, have a paper trail so that you have, you know, the original order and the, where you called in and then where it was shipped and where it's come back out. That way you can find anything.
I just want to say something briefly, just in case I miss you at the office. I hope that I'm there so I can take you all around and explain this. I do want to say something real quick about answering the phone. We're real lucky. We have Sissy. She has a wonderful phone manner. When you take this order, and it's very self-explanatory on this order form, it has the name, the company, the street, the city. And the customer tells you what they want to order. So say our customer says he wants to order the mother all offers. Don't just say to them, that's great, it's $169 plus $4 shipping, thanks a lot, bye. Say to them, okay, that's the mother of all offers. That includes 4 videotapes, desktop video for profit, the Gorilla Bill, our list of videotapes, plus the complete back issues, plus a 12-month subscription in the video marketing center. And that will be $169. And what you're doing is giving that person instant justification for spending that money. And that's very important to do. It stops a lot of remorse when they put that phone down. Don't go over what they're getting. If you know more information about it, say, oh, and you know, you'll be getting all of the free written information, or you'll be getting our little
as a bonus for calling, you get the free.
Tell them, talk to these people, spend that extra minute, because that's going to stop them from putting the phone down thinking, boy, $169, I don't really know if I should have spent that. And so spend that extra time, go over what they're buying, make sure it's very clear to them what they're getting when you take that order.
Yeah, be human. Say, what's the weather like there in Montana today? You know, it's just raining here. I mean, because you want to know anyway. These are nice people. Most of the people who are your customers are nice people to talk to. And it's really their dime. They want to talk to you, great. You want to build any confidence you can.
Yes, I completely agree with that. And I don't want to complicate this discussion, but it's very crucial. Your employee, I happened to be there when she was taking an order yesterday at your office after lunch. And she's so well trained and so enthusiastic about the product and so in tune with the customer, listening to what they say. It's crucial because you've spent the $600 or $6,000 or whatever you've spent, that customer is the lifeblood of your business, and it's so important to treat that customer right. Now, an enterprise going beyond that, it's very important, whether you're doing it yourself, even if you're answering your own phone, have a script for what you're going to say to the customer. For example, in enterprise, we went down to even when we talk about the product being $169.95, we don't say that. We say the product is $169.95. That sounds, it's more powerful.
Right, you don't say the word dollars and cents.
We don't say dollars, because if you say it's one, and it's also very important, once again, to because customers often ask questions when they're ordering about the key benefits of what that product is, and have them right there in front of you, or if you have someone else answering the phone, a secretary, a part-time person, right there in front of you. It's crucial. And then, before I complete your order, sir, are you familiar with a special that we're running today? These are the techniques, some of the techniques we would use in enterprise. If I can add this to your order today, I can let you have that for only $99.95. It's normally 100 customers on the phone. You can upgrade the order. I'm sure you do that in your operations.
Oh, we sell them everything. When they call, they're already going to get everything. But your point is right, and we had an employee that's no longer with us that she didn't really bother to find out what we had. And no matter what the customer asked, her answer was, yes, that's included. And it was like we had a person out of control on the phone who would say anything to get the order. You absolutely do not want that. And that's what the value of a script is. We couldn't get this person to read a script. And we said, this is what is the product. It's nothing else. And if you have a problem, ask us. And we'd come in and she's promising everything, and you can't. And that'll happen because they think that that's what they're there to get the sale. They are not there to get the sale. They are there to find a new customer.
Yes, I can share something with you how the company mentalities are. You know, just very briefly, the company that bought my publishing operations is called Dearborn Financial Publishing in Chicago, and they're a $25 million a year company, and I'm helping them convert their operation from product driven to marketing driven. And what I'm talking to them about doing is their customer service department is under operations, and I want that customer service department to be under marketing, mm-hmm. because that's your contact with the customer. The current mentality in this company, and they're the number one publishers in the insurance field for textbooks and other things, number two publisher in real estate, The mentality of their customer service is, let's get off the phone as soon as possible, get on to the next call, rather than sell the company's products. Well, I'm going to help that company double their sales from $25 million to $50 million in the next year, very simply. They don't have to change anything. It's just selling things on the telephone to the people that are making the incoming calls. In fact, the key people in that company are coming to my seminar and are going to be so brainwashed about how to do it effectively there, it's going to be terrific when they go back.
Did you say this is
going to explode?
This is a company you bought?
Beg pardon?
Is this a company you bought?
No, it's the company that I sold to this publishing company that now has the new toll-free number and so forth. So I just share that for whatever that's worth.
We're going to close right now. I want to show you something. You know, we talked about... Okay, one last comment from Sandy, we're going to close.
I just want to say, and I wanted to say this yesterday and got kind of sidetracked, but a special thank you to Bill and Karen and Sissy and Ron and all of the people at Group M, and to share with you that they've always been there for us. And where we are, there is no one doing what we're doing, and the people that we discuss what we're doing don't even want to hear about it because they think that we're crazy. So sometimes it's a little lonely, and it's really nice to know that we can pick up the phone and have moral support and actual help. Our questions are always asked. Our calls are always returned. And everyone that they have recommended, if we need help, like calling John Eager or a list broker, Dick Geyer, whatever. I mean, everybody has been very helpful and friendly, and mostly I appreciate everybody's integrity. John Eager told us not to advertise with his classifieds, and of course we didn't listen because we knew more than he did, because we're new, right? And he was absolutely right. He told us not to do it. We insisted on doing it, and they did what we asked. But I appreciate now his advice in retrospect more than I did, of course, when he gave it to me. We called Dick Geyer and asked for a direct mail list, and he didn't want to sell us one because he didn't have one that he felt was appropriate for our needs, and we were hot to buy. I mean, we were ready to send a check, certified, FedEx, however we needed to do it. And so I just want to say thank you for being here, because if we have any success at all, we would not have had it without your support.
Well, see, it's... It's actually a two-way street, because think how much I've learned from you. I've learned not to mail without enough postage. I've been reinforced not to use the word I 26 times on the first page. I mean, think of all the good stuff I've learned. Before we go to break, I want to show you something. You see this? What is this? This is a product. And health right now is a real hot item. And this is a finger blood pressure. You put it on your finger, you turn it on, press the button, it gives you your blood pressure. I mean, it's instant. It's like the little magical thing that John Carlson was talking about. It's magical. It doesn't cure anything, but it gives you inside information. These are being sold by DAC and some other companies.
They're being sold by DAC, but what would you do? You'd order one from DAC, and you get the information, and you try and find the manufacturer. You call the manufacturer, try and wheel and deal. I hope, if anything, that's what we've taught you to do.
You can buy something like this for about...
Then go to the manufacturer.
You can buy something like this for about $34. Daymark sells them for $69, but you wouldn't want to sell them for $69. What you want to do is bundle it up with a report, maybe a book on health,
Maybe a video,
several other products, and get the price up there where you'd make a fairly good product. Keep your eyes open for things like that, anything else that is being under-exploited like Gary Halbert. Now, before anybody else asks any more questions, what we're going to do is break for lunch. I want you to, some of you go on down to our office now, some of you eat lunch, do what you want. Between now and 4, be sure to get by our office.
What time do you want to back? 4?
We're all going to be back here at 4.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, that's 4 o'clock. If you miss us, you may really miss us. So back here at 4 o'clock, and then we're going to wind everything up this afternoon. Remember, when you go to our office, be quiet and polite, because we do have a business going on in there.
Okay, I think we're all in, Bill.
Everybody come in and sit down, please. How many people made it over to our offices? Please hold your hand. People made it to our offices. How many people were underwhelmed with how little it takes to be in this business? I mean, you went over there and you saw that all you need is a computer, a printer, and some people to help you out. It's not really that big a deal, is it? How many people saw this when they were over there? This package that says what not to do in direct mail? This is something somebody mailed to us. And actually, the guy called me and said, I mailed 100 of these out, got no response, what's wrong with it? And I said, send it to me. He said, how? You want me to send it? I said, send it to me exactly like you send it to your customer. Exactly. He said, okay, I'll do that. So what he sent me was this. Or at least this is what I got. A priority mail package with a letter in it that says, now this is to Les Jonas, Dynasty Steel, which is a fairly large company. Dear Mr. Jonas, as you can see, I've enclosed a videotape case with the name of your company on the cover. Let's look and see. This is what he got. And the letter goes on to say, videotape instead. And secondly, since I was writing about what concerns your company and video, I thought using a videotape case with your name on it was especially appropriate. And I blame Glenn on this. Glenn didn't do it. Jim Kissmiller did it. He's Gary Halbert's subscriber. Anyway, here's what it's all about. Anyway, he's telling you how your competitors are using video to grab your customers. And he says, P.S., custom tape cases like the one enclosed with this letter cost less than 50 cents each, including insert, and really grab the attention of the person who receives the tape. While a lot of printed mail gets thrown away, most paper with a nice letterhead. The insert he enclosed was on some kind of cream color or pumpkin color paper, which is a mistake. I mean, what kind of credibility does this give? And he had a lime green insert. So he did absolutely everything wrong, including not shipping the package to himself. This is one I talked about earlier, how things get crunched in the mail. So if you guys are going to do a mail out to anybody, mail it to me first, and if you screw up, I'll tell you. I promise you I will. Okay, we're about done here. And I'm glad that many of you came to do our offices, and I'm glad that you had this week. And what I'm going to ask you now is a small favor. Most of you know that I'm in direct mail by now, and that I'm also always creating products. And these tapes from this seminar, this is going to be one of the products that we offer over the next 6 months, and we'll probably offer for a couple of years. And to help me sell these tapes, I'm going to ask that some of you who feel like it, do a testimonial for me on camera. And what we're going to do is those who want to do that, come over here by Ron and sit down, and he's going to hand you a mic, and you can say anything you want. And you can say anything, it won't hurt my feelings. But before you do that, I want to make a couple of announcements. First, Karen in here.
She just went out for a second.
There she is. Karen?
Yeah?
Would you show everybody the hat that Gary Halbert's going to be wearing now?
The hat?
The hat. Bring it up here so people can see it. This is official, the checks in the mail ball cap. You see, this is just like your t-shirt. Our t-shirt printer, who's a nice guy and fairly smart, he said, I'll do all your t-shirts. He said, by the way, I'll throw in 6 ball caps because you're nice folks. All right? Now, how many people want this ball cap, would like one like this? So the printer was smart. He knew that it would generate business. When I send you a letter, I will have an order form in there in case you want a ball cap that you want to wear like this that says the check's in the mail. Staying for a hands-on video instruction seminar that is going to be conducted by Ron Beeman. Ron, again, is the person who's done this entire seminar. He mentioned that there are a couple of seats available. If you're staying and want to go through the video production seminar, you might want to talk to Ron before he gets out of here today. Now, is there anything anybody else would like to say before we officially close the ceremonies? Oh yeah, here's a real good book. I can't get this book away. She won't give it to me. It's called Mail Order Selling Made Easy by John Krimmer. He is the publisher of the book marketing updates in a newsletter that's in your box. Surprisingly, it's a very good book. There's some forms in the back that you might be interested in. I encourage you all to support anybody who sells products through direct mail, because that includes most of everybody in here. And when you do find products that are good through direct mail, let me know so that I can let you know in the letters that I'm going to be sending you over the next 3 or 4 months or next couple of years, because we all need each other's help to get this thing done. This is John Krimmer. K-R-E-M-E-R. Mail Order Selling Made Easy. Carl says he carries it in his catalog, which is great because it makes it easier to buy. The forms in the book
you've
are
all got
good.
Carl's catalog in your book.
Yeah,
in your
Carl's
box.
Catalog is in your box. Oh, there's another announcement. If you have anything that you need to send back to your home or office that you don't want to carry on the airplane, drop it by our office and tomorrow we'll ship it to you, UPS COD Collect. So if you have boxes and stuff, just bring them by, make sure your name and address is on them. We'll package them up and ship them to you for whatever the shipping cost is. So you don't have to carry these big heavy boxes around with you. And if there's anything else,
if any of you want to give me your name and address when I get back on Monday, I'll send you a whole box of stuff too, with the hope that maybe if you have the video project, you might want to hire Ron again.
This is,
I'm sure you get your name and address, and I'll get that out to you Monday.
This is Dave Bancroft. Dave, we'll get a list of all your names and addresses anyway, so he's probably going to send you stuff.
You want to get it on Monday.
You want to get it on Monday.
Don't wait.
If any of you think you're going to be real successful, I'd like to have a photograph of you with me so that I can put it on my wall. So later on when you're millionaires, I can say, I knew these guys when they were just getting started. But does anybody else have anything to say? I mean, I really had a good time, and I'm glad that all of you were able to make it. And I hope that we can network in the future with projects. I want you all to send me an offer so I can create a book of direct mail offers by direct mail virgins that really worked. Well, actually, if you do it, it'll work. And I want to especially thank everybody who came here and helped out, people like Gary Halbert, Ted Nicholas, Loretta Duffy, Carl Galletti, Ken Kerr, Karen Myers.
Tim.
Stand up, Karen. Read the names off.
Okay. Let's see. Let's thank David Deutsch, Gary Halbert, Ken Kerr, Loretta Duffy, Carl Galletti, Ted Nicholas, Lisa Maurice. Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming.
Especially Ron Beam and Jim Powell, Sissy. Yeah, so you want to do a group photo? You want to get everybody up here on the stage and just do a photograph? Jim, will you shoot the photo? Do you think the stage will hold us all?
I'll think about it.
Let's get everybody and just have rows. We'll have a row on the backstage and then a row down, a row in front. It's kind of be like the class photo, right?